Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. You may not have realized it, but November was National Adoption Month. Of course, every month is celebrated for something. January is Weight Loss Awareness Month, February is American Heart Month, and so on. But of all the special months, adoption really struck us as a cause worth talking about. About 400,000 children are living without permanent families in the foster care system, and about 100,000 children are in foster care waiting to be adopted. These are children caught in the system through no fault of their own. In today's show, we meet a Delaware County attorney who specializes in adoptions and has adopted several children herself. We'll talk to a county judge who handles adoptions. And we'll talk to an Anderson couple in their 60s who just adopted their three grandsons. You'll also hear from one of the boys, Hunter Jackson.
Well, my mom had recently died 2 years ago, and I had nowhere to go. And so my dad had went to jail, and so I went to live with my grandparents as a relative placement from our CASA. And after that, it was a hectic 2 years of just being in and out of their house because I didn't want to be with my other grandparents, which is my dad's side. And pretty much, I got used to it, and then they asked, did you guys want to be adopted? And I agreed. I was like, yeah.
That's 12-year-old Hunter Jackson talking about the day he was asked if he would like to be adopted. The adoption of Hunter and his two brothers by their grandparents was finalized on National Adoption Day last week. More about that in a moment, but first, just a little background. Rebecca Bruce is a lawyer in Muncie who specializes in adoption and is director of the agency known as Adoption Connections.
Most of the ones who contact me, they just want a child, and it doesn't matter to them whether the child is biologically related to them or not. They just want a child. They had chosen to try the infertility treatment first, and then when they come to adoption, they are more than ready to embrace a child that is not biologically related to them. And in fact, if they come to me and I sense that they are seeing adoption as a last resort, I probably would not encourage them to pursue adoption at that time because that wouldn't be the right time for them. They need to approach it with a healthy mindset. And like I said, 99% of the families that I've talked to are more than willing to embrace any child. And they have lots of love and lots of things to offer.
These adoptive families, they don't regard these children as any less than their real children.
Exactly. There really is no difference. And I've worked with families who are like mine, and every child they have in their family is adopted.
You yourself are an adopted parent.
Yes, and all of my children are adopted. My husband and I actually had planned to adopt before we knew that I was infertile. And so it was not, we did not come to adoption after having tried infertility treatments. We came to adoption before we even knew that infertility was some treatment was something that we could consider. And we actually chose not to do that. We chose to adopt. My husband was adopted as a baby, and we met at Ball State. And after we graduated, we got married. And I worked for a while for the Department of Child Services and some other social services organization, and got a really big eye-opening experience by doing that about the children who are in the foster care system, what it meant for them, what it meant for their biological families, what it meant for their foster families. And I was a part of some of my foster families on my caseload with my kids adopting them. And it was a wonderful experience to see that child go through some very hard things and come out on the other side with a forever family that was going to love them and take care of them forever. Now, I also rejoiced when the biological parents could successfully be reunified with the children. I worked really hard with those families to put services in place and to help them to be able to be reunified with their families. But when it could not happen for a child, it's not the child's fault the child's in the foster care system. It's not the child's fault that the parents weren't able to get them back. So you want to see a successful outcome for the child. And when I saw my foster families adopting those children, and I got to be a part of that process, it was something that I came home and told my husband, who had been adopted, whatever we do in life, we need to do this. We need to be foster parents. We need to consider adopting children. And so we knew early on in our relationship we were planning to do that because he agreed, and that was always on the radar for us. And we actually had already fostered some children and had just adopted our first child when I found out that I was infertile. So after that, we had three other kids come, another older child. My first two adoptions were adoptions of older boys, and then our last two adoptions were adoptions of babies.
Your husband must have had a positive experience. What did he tell you about?
He did, yes. He grew up knowing that his parents loved him very much, and with an appreciation for his birth mother too, who had chosen adoption for him. It was a closed adoption, which most adoptions then were, and he's never met her, nor has he tried to go and find her. He doesn't really feel like that's something he needs to do. He understands why some people do choose to do that. But yeah, he had a great experience. And his parents, they've been married for over 50 years, and we still spend a lot of time with them, and it's a good experience. It was a good experience for him, yeah.
Now that you've adopted several children, are the things that you learned in doing that you hadn't realized beforehand?
Quite a bit. I think, though, that that's probably the case for parenting no matter how you go about it. They don't come with a manual, and every child's different, and oh goodness, and when you add adoption into the mix too, you know, you've got nature versus nurture, so you're nurturing them one way, and they've got their nature coming out another way, and it's blending two families, or in our case, I guess we have four children and ourselves. My husband was adopted. How many families are being blended that way? You know, it's pretty amazing when you think about it that way. So there are lots of things that we learned, but parenting is always an adventure, no matter whether children come to you through adoption or biologically.
People who are considering this must have a lot of questions about what they face. Do they ever tell you that they're not sure if they're ready to do this? Or,
oh, sure. Sure. Most of the families who I talk to have given it enough consideration. They're far enough along in the decision-making process that they're ready to do it. But sure, I have families who are very honest and say, they have trepidation, they have concerns, what if the child, there's all kinds of different things that they would say, depending on the circumstances with the child, doesn't bond with us. What if, say it's a private infant adoption, what if the birth mom changes her mind before the baby's born? All kinds of different things, and they have all kinds of different concerns.
Rebecca Bruce is an attorney in Muncie who specializes in adoption and is director of the agency known as Adoption Connections. As you heard, she not only works these cases professionally, but has a very personal connection as well.
Because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
We've been talking about National Adoption Month and the 100,000 children across the country in foster care waiting to find what are sometimes called forever families. In Delaware County, Circuit Judge John Fike handles a range of cases that includes family law and finalizing some adoptions. Those turn out to be some of the happiest times in court.
I think there's a little sparkle on everybody's eye. It's something they want to be, and what's really rewarding is some families will come back and adopt another child, and the first child will remember being there and what it was like and how they enjoyed it, and now they've got another brother and sister through the same procedure, and it's just a happy thing to see. Some of the children being adopted have been in terrible situations. Now they've got a family that loves and cares for them, and they've picked them. They're special people, and I think most of them realize that. And sometimes I'll be in a restaurant or something and somebody will come up to me and say, hey, remember you you adopted us. And it's really a great thing to do and makes your day.
Is there a case or a time that you can think back where you talked with any of those people and you remembered anything that they said or
just that they appreciate? I guess what I should add, most of them, there's been a case study done, and I read that, and that tells from what background the children come from, what they've been through and what they've experienced. So to see that they've been through, some have been brutalized, and the fact they've got somebody who loves and cares for them is just a fantastic thing. A lot of people out there that need to be adopted, and somebody's taken upon themselves a sacrifice to do that. But they don't look at it as a sacrifice. They look at it as a blessing, and it's just a happy time being in the courtroom.
That's Delaware Circuit Court Judge John Fike. Before, we introduced you to a 12-year-old boy, Hunter Jackson, who was adopted in Judge Fike's courtroom, along with his two brothers, by his grandparents. We met the Jacksons at an Adoption Day event at the Muncie Northwest YMCA.
Tell me a little bit about your grandparents and what they've done for you.
They've given me the basic needs, shoes, I get a lot every month, clothes, they go out for it and buy, and they've sent me to a really good school and kept me out of the bad stuff in life.
It's tough when you don't have your parents around.
Right. I mean, being as it is, being 12 and not having a mom, it's really sad sometimes, but when I know my grandparents are here to take care of me, I feel comforted and not so sad and emotionally outcasted. And it's nice having to know someone's there for you.
What are your grandparents like? Can you describe them for someone who didn't know them?
Nice, but harsh at sometimes when they need it. Other than that, really good to be around with, jolly, happy people. That's really it. That's how I could describe them.
Are there kids you think that get in trouble because they don't have families like this or parents like this?
Yeah, I just think the way that I was raised in church, so I know what to do and how to be good. And other kids, they don't know what to do at all. They're just rude and inconsiderate and take things for granted. I don't. I'm happy with what I get because I was raised well. And I've quit what I've done before, and it's because of them. They're nice and they help a lot.
What was the adoption like?
It was very emotional while we were in there because I was like, the wait's over finally. And when I was getting adopted, they made us raise our right hand and swear in about like some kind of big word. It starts with purgatory, where it's with you, that you have to swear in for...
That you won't commit perjury,
yeah.
That you'll tell the truth.
Yeah. And I did, and then they asked us, do you agree about being adopted? And I said, yeah, I do. And my other brothers did too. And after that, it was really good. We went out to eat, celebrated our adoption, and now we're here today.
Sounds like it's kind of a relief to be with your grandparents.
It is. It really is.
I mean, you think that there are kids out there now that could use this?
Yeah. For the kids who don't have parents really in your foster homes, I encourage you, parents, adopt. You need to. There's kids who are alone and need it.
Hunter Jackson of Anderson, adopted with his two brothers last week by his grandparents, Katie and Woodrow Jackson. We met the family at an Adoption Day event in Muncie, part of the month-long national celebration of adoption, as a way to find permanent homes for 100,000 children in foster care.
False hope on the street.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
So we've been talking about National Adoption Month. We met Rebecca Bruce, the Muncie adoption attorney, Delaware Circuit Judge John Fike, Hunter Jackson of Anderson, who was adopted with his two brothers by their grandparents. His grandmother, now his mother, Katie, talked to us at the YMCA during a party for adoption families.
My name is really Evelyn, but I go by Katie Jackson.
Tell us the story of how we got here today.
It started like 36 years ago. We adopted our daughter, and then we didn't have any other children, so we were very, very active in the grandchildren's lives. And we just kept, trying to mentor our daughter, and it didn't go so well, and they started getting abused, and then my daughter died, and their father was an abusive father. And so when the kids started telling us some of the stuff that was happening in their home, then I called my pastor first, And then I called the welfare and the police and reported the abuse. And they really, you know, if they know that the abuse is happening, people's really got to step up and do that. And then when my daughter died, we'd had him for like 2 months, 3 months. And
the boys, then, that is.
Yeah, we had the boys. But we've always had to buy like their clothing and some of their food and things like that. And so then we had him full time. I mean, after, you know, after we got him, we wasn't getting any finances or anything. But we decided we could do it anyway. And so then my daughter died in October 2 years ago. And we started helping the welfare to terminate the father's rights. And then there was never every question that we was gonna not have him. And then we were doing foster parenting thing and decided to adopt instead. So we adopted the boys. We've got three of them. There's Noah, who is...
You're very brave. Go ahead.
Yeah. Noah just turned 16. Hunter, you just saw, and now his name's Moses. But Hunter Moses is going to be 13 next month. And then we have Austin, who is going to be 14. And then we have all their friends, too.
May I ask your age?
I'm 64.
You're pretty brave taking on three teenagers.
Well, I've taught Sunday school for 35 years, so there's nothing they can pull new on me. I've always had like a ministry of like street kids type things. And I took, one pastor's wife told me one time that I took the throwaways. And I said, there's no kid that's a throwaway. And so we have one with us today that has been in trouble, and he knows that I'll ground him and not let him come over. And they just act different around me because I expect them to be different. And it's the same with grandkids. We don't beat, I don't spank. I have a hand that goes, if it gets like that, they're grounded.
It's a hand. It's on a poster or something?
No, it's mine.
Oh, your hand. You give them a signal that they're getting closer.
Yes, that's a signal, and they'll put it back up, but they're pretty good kids.
What's Hunter like? Seems very well spoken.
He's very hyperactive, but sometimes he's the one that gets the ground the most. And he doesn't like it because he says that as soon as he gets ungrounded, he gets grounded again. But I try to give him a little bit more leeway than the other two.
What have you learned about raising children that you think maybe other folks don't realize?
That each child is different, and you have to learn to focus on their abilities, not any disabilities. Not treat them any different. If there is a disability, just treat them like a kid. And just... you know, learn to roll with them and learn to love them unconditionally. You don't have to like their behavior, you don't have to love their behavior, but you have to love the kid.
We have a lot of situations where the parents are not really around. And what are you seeing? What's happening with young people when they don't get enough family support?
I've seen a lot of grandparents taking the kids, but I've also seen a lot of kids hit the streets. And when we had them in junior high at Anderson, I hated walking in there. The kids were rude, they were something else, and I would tell them, you know, I'm sorry that your parents don't love you enough to correct you. And I was the same way when my daughter was little. I grounded her kids, and I had her friends, and I had one girl that said, you can't ground me. My mom don't even ground me. And I said, I'm sorry your mom doesn't love you enough, but I do. You're grounded. And so the kids grew up knowing that I will ground their friends, because you got to give them boundaries. If you don't give them the boundaries, they don't know how to act.
So they need more foster families, and they need more
folks.
Tell me
about
that.
Yes, there is such a need for kids that are out there that has nobody. I was going to be a CASA before we got our kids.
Court appointed special advocate.
Yes, I was going to be a CASA because these kids need somebody to advocate for them. I was in with the special advocates for special needs children when my daughter was in school. And they just need somebody who cares and goes out of their way to, you know, take care of them. And I think that's where this one generation that we're in now is failing, is that maybe the kids weren't taught how to treat kids. And so they are lost themselves. So they need parenting classes and stuff. And then the children needs parenting. Because if not, the next generation is going to be worse. So we need people to step up and take care of these kids.
It's got to be pretty hard. What keeps you going?
The kids. And seeing the little milestones. I mean, when they are bad, you know, you not really bad, but when they act up, you think, oh my goodness, what am I doing? But then they can just come put their arms around you and I'm done. I just melt. So it's, you know, and I've done that. There's a couple kids running around here now. Rebecca's children are some of my kids from church. So I always tell all kids, once my kid, always my kid, and I'll never go away from that. And I've always tried to make that go. I went to jail and seen kids and, you know, that's been in Sunday school. But I just think that, well, I thank God that I got saved 35 years ago, that I can, you know, give his love out, because we have to. If people don't start giving their love out, these kids are lost.
What advice would you have for folks who are considering becoming foster parents?
We started through the classes to do it. They have a wonderful bunch of classes that you can go to, and it teaches you everything from first aid to how to handle tantrums, you know. So there's all kinds of things that they can do. And they do, you know, there's a great group of people who will teach them if they don't know. So give it a shot. You know, you don't know until you try.
Can you tell me a story about when you realized, oh, this is really a special thing here. I'm glad I did this.
I think the best thing is I kept questioning all the way up, and I didn't cry during the adoption ceremony. And I'm thinking, I'm pretty good because I'm a crier. And then Noah gave me a little box, a velvet box that had a mom pin in it, and it had three little angels on it, for one for each boy. And I just broke down and cried. And then I knew this is what, you know, this was right.
Katie Jackson, the grandmother and now adoptive mother of three boys from Anderson, who were dealt a pretty bad hand in life but now have a much better shot. Not every story has a happy ending, but during the National Adoption Month, we get to hear about some stories that suddenly turn a lot brighter with the founding of new families. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flexsteel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.